When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
They ain't been ready. They ain't ever gonna be ready. They still ain't ready. I don't know. I messed that up somehow, but fuck
you
it though.
Know.
It's the What Is TWS podcast. Again, episode 100 and something. Thank you for rocking with us thus far. As always, I am your boy J.Dot Flan. And again, joining me through the miracle of the interwebs is Rich Nerd.
Yep.
And we are the White Pants Society. Be one of us. Nah. Man. I don't know, where do I want to start this week? We don't have a lot prepared. I have to say, you know, I'm an asshole, and I had something in mind for this weekend. I think I built it up in the last episode, this epic debate that I was gonna have with Cree, and then I fell into the sunken place this weekend. I'm telling you, man, like, depression is a serious thing, and I fell into the sunken place.
It was a bad weekend all around. We both got a lot going on right now, so happy to be back for another episode.
Yes. I wasn't able to link up with Cree like I was supposed to, and we didn't make that debate to end all debates happen. And we don't have a lot of shit planned for this episode, but you know our motto: fuck it though, and we gonna make it do what it do.
Sorry, I was just watching the 8 Mile.
Okay.
And he was like, fuck it though. And it just reminded me of that second to last battle. My motto, fuck Lotto. I get a dollar from your mama that played the number tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, this nigga knows the lines off of 8 Mile. I'm not that hip hop though. Alright, so speaking of me being an asshole and stuff like that, I often get these like really fucked up thoughts, and like as nice as I try to be and the whole be the light and the kumbaya stuff and the love you bro and all that, like I really get like horrible thoughts. I just wanted to share this one with the people because it struck me as uniquely horrible, and I felt some kind of way about myself at that moment. So this is I'm gonna call this how I know I'm a piece of shit. So Rich,
yeah, because I read the note. I've been waiting to hear this because not the piece of shit part, but that second part. I'm gonna shut the fuck up. I gotta hear this one.
And it's real simple though. It's real simple, Rich. Like, so the other day I'm in the barbershop. I'm getting my hair cut, and you know, like for a black man, that's like one of the greatest moments. Yeah, it's a ritual. Sure. It's a lovely moment. Like you know you. In the chair, you know, transforming into the man that God intended you to be. And life is somehow going to be better than it was when you sat down, when you get up. Like, you just know this. You're in the safest place possible. You can say and do whatever you want. It'll all be accepted. It's always entertaining. It's a good time. I should have been in a happy place. And I think for the most part, I was in a happy place. And, you know, it's been sunny and stuff out here. I'm looking outside. It's nothing but, you know, sun shining, beautiful day, you know, I usually take off, like, you know, for lunch to go get my hair cut. So I'm sneaking away from work to get my hair cut. All signs are pointing toward life is good. I look across the street, not even across the street, in the parking lot, and there's like a little patch in the parking lot where there are flowers. Like, you know, this is a weird spot for flowers to be, because this is like a little strip mall. You know, like only two of the three stores are actually open. One of them is like gutted. So you're in like a pretty, I don't know, urban environment. And then all of a sudden, like, there's just a patch of flowers. And there's a lady walking down the street, and she's too far away for me to really pick out any features or anything for. I couldn't tell what ethnicity she was, nothing like that. I couldn't tell you how old she was. I could tell you it was a female. That's about the most I could get from it. And she's walking by outside the barbershop. You know, Drew's got me pointed toward the window. I'm looking, and she stops to smell the flowers. You know, the first thought that popped in my head, I hope you get stung in the face. I don't even know why. Like, why did I secretly want, like, there to be a hornet or something in that flower and sting her in the face? Like, she had done nothing to me. She wasn't walking down the street doing something foul or something. You know, she wasn't. She was doing nothing offensive. I just, in my head, like, I just wanted something horrible to happen to some random person. Like, how fucked up is that? I really got to work on myself, man. It really caught me off. And then I had to have that moment, like, you know, when you have the thought, and then you're like, God damn, am I really that messed up? But seriously, though, I think, and I would have chuckled or something. Like, if she'd have got stung in the face, I might have fucked my shape up because I would have moved. Oh, I think I'm waking the baby up with my podcast. I gotta be quiet. Aww. Gotta be quiet. Okay, Rich.
But nah, I don't, you know what? Damn. I don't feel bad, because if that makes you fucked up, then that means, like, it makes me fucked up. Because I don't want to say that I wish the worst for people, but it's like almost like the back of your psyche. Like, when you see dumb shit happening, or something happening, you wish for, like, the dumb outcome because it's going to be entertaining. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. When you be seeing, like, perfect example, I saw a video earlier, and this Asian woman jumped on the back of somebody's car because they refused to pay their bill at the nail salon. Damn. So she jumps on the back, and, like, she's holding on to the trunk. You know how the trunk got that little groove in the back or whatever? So I'm watching her hold on, and I'm mostly watching because it's not that I want her to fall off. It's just in the back of my mind, something kept telling me her finger's going to get stuck in that groove. She's going to fall off the edge. The finger's going to come off. Arm is going to get broke. I'm just waiting for, like, this. And nothing happened. The car just kept going, and she was hanging on tight. And yeah. I was like, this is misleading. Like, where's the
anticlimactic. Like,
yeah, it was like, you know.
I think I'm with you on that one, because it's not even so much that you want the horrible thing to happen. You just want to be able to say you was there when,
exactly.
When her finger and arm got ripped off and she fell. like you, man, see these videos and stuff you would post on YouTube. You're like, man, how come I don't never see no crazy shit like that?
Exactly. You know. Because now, what kind of story do you have? I was sitting in a barber chair and I saw a woman smell a flower. Like, right. What the fuck? Okay. Nice story, Flynn.
If only she had got stung in the face.
Yeah, that's something you come home and tell the kids. So,
but yeah, these are the thoughts that run through my head. Another disturbing thought today, it was like intern day at the office. All the interns started today. Well, a bunch of them. I don't know if all of them, but a bunch of them started today. And that meant I got to kind of sit around and listen to young people conversation and, like, young people work conversations or the questions they ask. And I don't know if I'm just the old man that's being, like, way too judgmental of young people, but that's how I felt. Like, I felt like, you know, this is the stuff y'all care about. These are the dumbass questions that y'all ask, you know, on the first day. And it all felt like real entitled type stuff. Like they asking the HR person, like, these are the questions that they have for the HR person, Rich. What's the policy on the ping pong table? Is that only for break time?
First of all, why? Never mind. Go ahead.
Why would you ask that? Why would you ask that?
Why are you supposed to be doing your work hours and on a ping pong table? But whatever. Go ahead.
All right. Why would you ask? Is this a bring your own lunch workplace? So, are they familiar with workplaces where you don't bring your own lunch and lunch is provided for you every day? Like, I'm confused about that. It was all their questions were about, what are y'all gonna do for us? Is the coffee free? I'm like, where are these? You should be just happy to be here at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And all you want to know is what the company gonna get you. Do we got free coffee? How much can I play ping pong? Is it bring your own lunch? Can I wear shorts? You know, like, I don't know. And I felt like an old man in that moment.
I feel like an old man, because back in my day, you don't get that information from HR. You find out for yourself. You gauge the situation. You talk to your coworkers. You figure it out. Even if you could wear shorts, they're not going to walk in the first day and say, by the way, you can wear your shorts tomorrow.
Right. You're not going to come in the shorts tomorrow. Like, you know, you spend the first month maybe on your best behavior wearing, you know, I remember at Freescale, dude, I came in for the first month, like, with a tie on every day. Like, I just wanted to make sure y'all wasn't, you know, playing with me about, I don't got to wear a tie. We can wear jeans on Friday. I need to see it consecutive Fridays before I decide I can.
Exactly. I did the same thing. I'm still in there with ties and button ups and polos and looking like I'm on an interview every day, wearing sweaters and all types of stuff. Because you know.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't know. You're supposed to put your best foot forward. You're at your whole ass place of employment. Can you wear shorts and play ping pong?
I mean, yeah, where I'm at now, like the first time I went in the ping pong room, and that's the only time I've been in the ping pong room, you know, so far, it's been because my boss came to my desk and was like, hey, we're having a meeting. And he got up and he took us all into the, you know, the ping pong activity center or whatever. And we played air hockey. But that was him trying to, like, break the ice and, you know, get us not so concentrated on work. But I wasn't going to be caught in there playing table hockey while work hours was going on. My boss took me in there. All right, cool. Yeah. Now I kind of feel like I could go. I just don't want to play with other people.
You know what? You know, hold on. Got a question. I feel like that story was a guess the ethnicity moment.
Oh, really?
How many of those interns were white?
White.
And how many were African American?
Hey, man, I don't know if you want to. There's not much information I could give you. I mean, well, based on what you heard, what would you say the mix was?
I feel like not many brothers are gonna walk into a situation like that, talking about can they wear shorts, play ping pong, and get free lunch and coffee.
100% correct. I wouldn't. 100% correct, Rich.
I'm just saying.
You win. Guess the ethnicity. They were all white. White.
Man, like, I'm still on my P's and Q's, and I've been at this place damn near 3 years.
So is that like a derivative of like slave time? Like, is that like something that we still have? Like we gotta be on our best behavior in front of Matt. Like, I don't wanna oversimplify it like that, but isn't that weird? Like, how we have this sort of like, you know, I can't get caught in front of them being too relaxed.
And I was just about to say, and I they feel walk like in I don't like, have the luxury to relax.
Yeah, and they walk in like, how relaxed can I be? Like, can I be this relaxed? Can I be this relaxed? Like, they looking, they start on the other side of the boundary and make you push in. Like, they say, all right, I'm not even going to come in here in shorts. I'm going to come in here in a full spandex bodysuit and let you tell me I wasn't supposed to wear this.
That's exactly what it is. I see. So I'm not with it.
We be waiting for somebody else to break the rule. At least 5, 10, 15 people break the rule before we decide it might be safe. I don't know. We don't live in the same world. We've discussed this several times. Nah. We don't live in the same world. And I don't think everybody understands. All right, speaking to somebody who doesn't appear to be living in the same world. Bad segue, because he is living in the same world. But he's moved worlds. How about that? Yeah, he moved worlds. Now, that Arian Foster album, so far from what I've heard, is pretty damn dope. I think his rap name is Bobby Fino. And then I see that's when I talk about like him being in another world. Like, I don't get that, like Bobby Fino. And then I think the name of the album is like Flamingo Vocal or something. It's something else, like super weird. And I get that he was one of those guys, like he's a poet and he's really like, he was really a little eccentric as a football player. I guess it extends to his music. But I don't know. You know, sometimes I get turned off by the weird for the sake of weird stuff.
Yeah.
But from what I heard, like he can actually spit. And I only got like 2 or 3 tracks into the album. But like I was very surprised. Like this wasn't just like a football player deciding to rap. Like he obviously has a passion for the culture, for the art form. And he took it quite seriously. And it's I'm ready to get into the rest of it because I think it's going to be a pretty good body of work. I wanted to do a lyric of the week from the album, but I told you, Sunken Place, shit happens. Didn't happen, but I think I'll put a snippet like somewhere right here.
It was a dream that's like Alice in Wonderland. The fam fuck with the plan, the fish pop in the pan. I told my man, stay the fuck off the gram. Double tapping them pics, them hoes home for life. She stepped foot on one flight, and she going for life. That technology love, that commodity love. Holding on for dear life, like this gotta be love. Got that kung fu grip on heartbeats, you wrong though. Titanic sinking, you still singing your song, yo. I grab my watermelon sunrise.
Alright, due to some technical difficulties, lost a little bit of the audio here, so we're gonna pick back up in the middle of the conversation.
Weed joining reparations. A race for governor. Yeah, she joining a race for governor in New York, and weed reparations. So today, Mayor de Blasio. Basically announced that. New York City is preparing for marijuana legalization and basically instructed the NYPD to halt arrest.
Yeah.
No more arrests. You know, if somebody's smoking weed, they gotta, if you're under the legal limit for carrying weed, you know, let it alone, like F it, leave them be. And I'm just like, oh shit. So it's a good day for New York.
Yeah, that's...
I wonder if everybody celebrated by smoking a blunt on the corner. I don't know.
I wonder when it might come to Texas, or are we going federal? I mean, it's right. Happening everywhere. Though. It's like, what's
Texas,
that?
Man, too conservative. Yeah. Even in liberal ass Austin, it's still too conservative.
They'll secede from the union before they allow us to smoke weed in here. But now that's pretty dope that he's like, you know, halt arrest, like in preparation for the law changes. The law hasn't changed, but why arrest people a couple months before the
preemptively? It's about to happen. Just let them rock. Let them go.
People in jail, and then a month later, what they was doing is legal.
Because by the time they go through the system, it'll be, you know, that month. So screw it.
So that's what's up. I did appreciate that one. I did definitely appreciate that one. Even though de Blasio sounds like a mall to me. Sounds like a mall. Like, hey, where you headed to tonight, man? I'm gonna hit up the de Blasio. Give me some jeans.
Damn, now that you say it like that, yeah, like a mall or a casino. A
casino or something, yeah. I'm about to go spend a little change at the de Blasio.
The de Blasio Royale.
Holla at your boy. That's y'all. I mean, that is a. If there had to be a name for the New York mayor, though, de Blasio, like, it's pretty stereotypical.
Yeah,
it fits. You can just give him a slice of pizza and a Yankee hat.
They all be trying to do it too. They all, and you know, we got two teams, the Yankees and the Mets. They'll talk about the Mets like whenever we have the Subway Series, because it's Yankees Mets. But for the most part, it's all Yankees. It's all Giants.
Yeah, nobody cares about the Mets and the Jets.
Yeah, nah, they're all Yankees, all Giants. They'll sit there and eat some pizza, and they'll say, you know, I'm taking a train this week, and they'll take the train a few stops, empty out the car, full of security.
Man, speaking of football, I saw one of the Redskins draft picks, running back, can't think of his first name. Last name is Guise. I'm gonna say Guise. Somebody's gonna correct me. But a running back from LSU, I think. And they're projecting him to be a pretty good player. Like, you know, some people are saying he got rookie of the year potential. We'll see. Mm-hmm. The Redskins line hasn't performed that well over the last couple of years. But he got pranked in training camp. They put like a fake rubber snake under his helmet, like on the field. So after they was doing some drills, you know, they had to go grab your helmet and do some contact drills. And he lifts up his helmet and there's the snake. And they got the pictures of him like freaking out and running away. I can only imagine like the sound. I wish somebody would have got the sound. I need to hear one of these like 250-pound dudes
just squeal,
like yeah, just scream. I know if somebody done that to me, like, I don't know how we can go back to being cool. Like you embarrass me like that in front of everybody, because I know I know the kind of squeal I might have made. How do you come? I don't even know if I'd come back to practice the next day. I'd be like, you know what?
No,
I'm good. Trade me.
I know how you feel too. I just posted online the other day. I was in the backyard, cleaning up, trying to rake up the extra leaves and crap. And next thing you know, boom! This motherfucking snake just sidewinding. I'm like, this snake's now. I done seen scorpions and tarantulas and all types of other stuff, but now I walk in my backyard and it's a snake. Somebody was like, it was probably just a garden snake. Well, he need to move on to another garden. I'm not with it.
I don't think I've run into snakes yet in Texas. Listen. I feel like I've run into everything else, but I still have run into an armadillo. Yo, I've been waiting for like my armadillo picture moment, but
I think I ran over one the other day.
I haven't run into an armadillo yet. I haven't seen one on the side of the road holding a beer can. I heard that's something that they do. Like you hit them, they get hit, and then they end up on the side of the road on their back, and you could put like a beer can in it, and their paws make it look like they're drinking a beer. That's what we do in Texas. That's what we do in Texas. Because that people sounds like. Alright. Speaking of what people do over the weekend.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There was a royal wedding.
Man, this bullshit-ass wedding.
I really didn't. It's another one of those, like, I mean, is it the way men and women are wired differently or what? But like, and it was like at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever that you had to get up for the footage of this thing. I could give a, like, when they had them NFL games starting at like 9 a.m. on Sundays because they overseas, I barely want to get up. You think I'm going to get up to see somebody get married?
Nah, not even. Not even.
To look at hats?
And so I really... I really have no fucks about it. It is what it is. It's another couple getting married. It affects my life in no way, shape, or form.
None.
But what was interesting to me about it is Meghan, what is it, Markle?
Meghan Markle, yeah. She got like a striptease tape out. I saw. I don't know if it's real or not. I was flipping through the interwebs today, and it was something about her her striptease tape coming out. But go ahead.
So basically, she's a biracial woman. I don't know if she identifies as black or white. Most biracial people usually identify as black, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you don't get an option when you're biracial. You're black.
Yeah, exactly. And she's marrying this white man. And everybody's like, yeah, she got to come up. She's about to marry her prince, who's literally like a prince or whatever. But anyway, and everybody's super excited for her. No judgment, nothing whatsoever. But a week ago, you know, Donald Glover releases his new video, but everybody was criticizing the crap out of him because he's married to a white woman. So I don't get it. Why is it okay for this black woman to marry a white man, but not a black man to marry a white woman? Because as far as I understand, if a black woman marries a white man, what are their kids? Like, don't their kids, you know what I mean? Doesn't the dominant gene always come from the male?
Now, the kids are still black. We still live in a society where if you got a drop of black blood in you, you're black. It don't matter what side it come from, you're black. But let me explain to you why there's a double standard on this. Well, it's not even really a double standard because we're not comparing apples to apples, right? Markle, you know, married a prince. She became a princess or a duchess. I think she's the duchess of something right now. There's history. She's in the royal family. They got color in the royal family. Shit is changing. Let me think. Who is Sabrina? Didn't she just marry a white dude?
I think so.
Sabrina married a white dude, but he's like a billionaire or some shit. Like if you, it seems like when the black dudes marry the white women, they're not like making history or having a come up. They probably marrying, you know, Becky from the block, like regular. Like, it's like if you're gonna go to the other side, go get like the best of the other side, not just shorty at Starbucks, like. I think that may be where, you know, sometimes it's not going to be viewed the same way. I think if Meghan Markle had just married some no-name white dude, maybe we probably wouldn't have heard about it, one. And maybe if we did, if she was important enough, we'd have been like, oh, like if Oprah just married some, you know, white dude we don't know, he'd be like, the fuck? Yeah. But if it's a power move, like if you becoming a princess, they probably root for you. I'm not saying I'm not saying it's right one way or the other, but yeah, it's not quite the same situation. Like, we don't even know who the fuck Donald Glover, and are they married? It's just his baby mother, right?
I don't even know. See, that's what I'm saying. I don't fuck about these people's relationship, but just because everybody made a big deal about it, I was like, come on, really? It's the same shit.
Now, if she would have been the princess or something, they might have let that shit pass, but I think she probably a stay-at-home mother. I don't know. I don't know nothing about her. I just know that she ain't like royalty or nothing. Like, she's not a billionaire. She's not royalty.
She is royalty to him.
She's not. Yeah, she's his queen. Oh, he better not ever say that shit.
I mean, he can't call her his African queen, but I mean, that's his queen.
Better not say that shit. That's
the queen of his house. See what I'm saying? It's a stigma. I don't understand.
Son done son, he ever said that. It's over for Childish. Oh, man.
Poor Mr. Gambino.
Mr. Gambino.
His whole last name is Gambino, first of all. She's probably Italian.
Man, I don't know.
I just thought it was weird. The hypocrisy behind it.
It's hypocrisy, but I can see, like, the difference. I'm going to play devil's advocate on this one. Like, this weekend was history. It wasn't just a black woman marrying a white man. It was the first time, you know, there's now color in the royal family. There is the possibility of, you know, the thing that still bothers me about this shit. Like, this is 2018. Like, we still doing this king and queen shit? Like,
pretty much.
Like, we still, like, because it's just a figurehead, right? Like, it's just like a, it's just a thing. Like, they don't really have power, dude. Like, they just there to be there. Like, I don't.
Rich for the sake of being rich. It's just a figure, yeah.
It's just a figurehead. Yeah. It's crazy to me. It's crazy. And then here's the other thing. Like, I'll admit it. I watched a little bit of the coverage because, you know, I like to spend time with my wife. So I watched a little bit of it.
I knew Tammy watched it.
I watched some of the hat conversation and a few things. But then I heard, like, the most fucked up thing ever in life. They were talking about the queen and how, you know, I guess it's expected that she's going to pass at some point. And they're like, I guess Prince Charles would take the throne, you know, once she passes. And they're like, you know, but the country normally, you know, favors a young monarch. Like, I think the queen was like 26 or whatever when she came into the throne. And like, they like a young monarch. They get behind a young monarch. It's a shame that Prince Charles had to wait this long. Like, are you saying it's a shame she hasn't died yet? Like, is that really
pretty much
what they motherfucking just pretty said? Much. Like, if you just get out of the way. If only your
mama would have croaked sooner, you'd have had more public favor.
If you would just die, things would work out better for me. All this time, they going to hate me now. Why ain't you ain't die? Why you ain't died 30 years ago?
When I was a baby, why you thinking that's fucked up?
You could have died while Diana was still here and things would have been cool.
There was a meme earlier and it was like, damn. How many memes versus the presidents? I mean, how many queens versus the presidents? Because there's been one queen in office since how many presidents ago? You know what I mean? They counted back. It was like Bush, Clinton, Obama. For what's 45's name again? Trump. Colin 45. I should forget the nigga name. Shit. Reagan. She been in office since then. Since, like, damn. Yeah, we done had a hella turnover.
Yeah, I mean, because their shit is just for life. Like, you and that motherfucker for life. Queen for life. They waiting for her to die. Like, can you imagine that? Like, you know secretly people waiting for you to die. Like,
that's cold.
Like, it's just like, man, they wake up every morning. She dead yet? Shit. I guess I'm still a prince. I thought I'd be a king by now. I don't know. All right. Speaking of other fucked up things. Well, I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about this? So apparently, Kendrick Lamar called a white fan on the stage at this Hangout Festival concert. They said they knew all the words to Mad City. And correct me if I'm wrong. Mad City is the, you know, man down, where you from, nigga. Fuck who you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. That's right. So apparently after about four niggas... And the crowd booing, Kendrick Lamar had to stop the show, stop the song. And basically, the comment that I heard he made was, what, like, the person before you knew the rules or something like that. I guess it was a white person that had come up there before. And I was like, you knew the rules. And mm-hmm. I guess
yeah, and the girl was like, am I not cool enough for you or whatever?
Yeah, if I'm not cool, mm-hmm. am I not cool enough for you? Mm-hmm. What's up, bro? And he pretty much let her know that she needed to bleep. A specific word.
He's like, nah, you good. You just gotta bleep that one word.
You gotta bleep, like, the one word. And then let her keep going, but the, you know, the crowd wasn't into it at that point. And she took some abuse. So I'm like, man. So here's my question for you, Rich. What would have been, would it have been worse if she got up there and said, can I say the N-word? Like, for me, for her to get up there and just, like, blatantly say it and get, like, four in means she didn't understand that what she was doing was wrong. And that it almost feels like a motherfucker set up. like you gonna bring me up here to sing this song and then I get up here and sing it and mm-hmm. it's like, nah, son. Nah. Like, don't.
I feel like she should have known. I feel like she should have known. She should have known. You know what I mean? She should have known. The way I talk to you all day, I'm not going to get up in front of a meeting and practice on a radio show, I'll say it. I'm not going to say it in front of everybody else. Like, what made her think it's okay on stage with Kendrick Lamar in front of all these niggas to say nigga?
Because you on stage with Kendrick Lamar and it's his song that he knows contains the word nigga, and he brought you on this stage to sing it.
But then at that point, he had to say something. Because if he didn't say anything and he didn't check it, he'd have got the backlash.
Yeah, exactly. But it feel like a setup. He shouldn't have brought her on the stage to sing that song.
Like you said, it was somebody before that. They didn't say it.
I don't know, man.
I feel like
it feels like a setup. I feel bad for it. I don't feel like the outrage. Because you know they do it. You know if they listening to the music and they in the house by themselves, that they are not bleeping. They're not bleeping the word out. Now you got them in that. You got them in that zone. You got them at the show. They all hyped up. They all in, you know, Kendrick Lamar mode. You bring them on stage. They going to do what they do in the house. Like, they're going to put on that show, and they going to say the word. It's a setup. Like, I feel like it was entrapment. I feel sorry for the girl. And she's going to be hated for a long time. Like, the shit that by the time I got online, the video was down. I couldn't see the video. But
see, that's what I was trying to see. I was trying to see, like, the video to see, like, the actual cadence of it, how it happened, like, but I missed it. The links are all dead. I'm gonna find it on YouTube somewhere.
Man down. Where you from, nigga? Like, I don't know. I feel like it was a setup. I feel like we shouldn't put white people in those situations. Certain situations.
Why are they put us in those situations?
What's an equivalent situation? Give me an equivalent situation for a black person.
So you're just gonna put me on the spot?
I'm gonna put you on the spot.
This is an equivalent situation.
It's not equivalent situation. It is, because we can say whatever. Like, we could get on the stage and probably be like honky honky honky, and shit wouldn't go left. You know, depending on the crowd.
I feel like I probably couldn't say honky 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 or cracker cracker cracker. Dave Chappelle could probably say that.
All right, Dave Chappelle could say it. So is there a white celebrity that could do it? No. Ain't no white celebrity that could get up, you know.
I feel like there's white.
Like, Louis C.K. couldn't do it. Bill Maher now knows he can't do it.
Who?
Well, Bill Maher knows he can't do it.
I feel like there are white people who said it, though.
And they don't get away with it.
And who's gotten away with it?
Not in the last. You got to find that one for me, dog. Yeah, because Bill Maher just tried his hand. It didn't work well for him. We know what happened.
Bill Maher, he definitely wasn't gonna get away with that one.
We know what happened to Kramer. I don't know. Drake is probably the closest thing to a white person I know that says nigga and gets away with it. Did Izzy ever say it? Izzy, what the fuck is her name?
Azalea?
Yeah.
Is that her name?
Fancy
Drake? She probably has. It's fucking, what's her name? Definitely saying no all the time. Amber Rose.
Is Amber Rose white?
Her nigga sucking ass. I don't know.
God damn. I had to edit that shit. Lord.
My bad. I'm just saying.
God damn.
Still. I don't know.
I think sometimes we got to take racial sensitivity into consideration too. Like, you know. We can't force everybody else to live on eggshells about what they can and cannot say around us. And then we just, like, put them in situations where they gotta make tough decisions. Maybe that wasn't a tough decision. I'm using the wrong language. That wasn't a tough decision. Shorty should have known better. But I still think it was an inappropriate situation to put her in. Like, you know. When they're at home.
It was inappropriate. He should have known better. You're right. Because he knew what the song was. But at the same time, she shouldn't have just immediately feel comfortable. Who do we have on the who was it on the show? Was your homeboy from DC, and he was like how he had did that interview one time.
Yeah.
And he did the interview, and he let the guy just got too comfortable real quick because it was another brother, and he just went straight, like, you know what I mean? You can't do that.
But we talking about a concert. It's like a party. It's like, you know. You're supposed to feel like you're not supposed to be uptight at a concert. You're supposed to be like,
that's not just because you're not supposed to be uptight. Don't mean you're not supposed to be politically and socially and morally correct.
I think it's a lot of pressure to put on somebody at a concert. Like, all right, at this concert, at this concert on these songs that are about words. So you sing the words to the song. You need to understand that there's certain words you can't sing. Even when I'm telling you come up here and sing the song.
The other foot,
but what's the shoe being on the other foot is my question.
If we were at a concert,
right,
and it was a black person who was pulled online on stage, and the lyric was cracker or honky or whatever it is, I bet you a young brother or young sister wouldn't have said that line.
Well, one, most young brothers and young sisters wouldn't be in environments like that. We don't go places where we don't fit in or not wanted. Like, we smarter than that. So I don't know if it's a crowd like that with music like that, and we know we can't participate, we wouldn't have even gone. We make them comfortable. We make them comfortable because we have to.
She was too comfortable.
Because we make them comfortable. We know where the money comes from. That statistic been out there forever that 60-70% of the rap records aren't bought by black people. We know where the money comes from. We make these people comfortable.
You know what I'm thinking about now? How did her parents feel when they saw her on stage saying nigga, 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 nigga at a black concert? I wonder what her dad thought.
I bet you they was like, we knew this shit was going to fucking knew this shit was going to happen. We tried to tell her that you're not that cool. Even her reaction. Am I not cool? She felt like there was a level of cool you could be, that gave you a pass. And being at a Kendrick Lamar show and knowing the words to the song, she felt made her cool enough to be a part of the congregation for one night. That's how she felt. She felt like she had been. And then when she gets invited on the stage, it's like, I'm definitely in. They've accepted me now. Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, you heard that, what's the song that Lil Dicky got where he wakes up as Chris Brown and like the first thing he wants to do is like, I'm black. Can I say nigga? Like, it is a thing today. it's like dangling a carrot in front of, a horse's face. Like you got me this close to a pass and you don't think I'm going to go for it? Fuck yeah, I'm going to go for it. We knew what she was going to do. We all knew what she was going to do. Ain't nobody expect her to bleep that damn word out. And she wrong. He wrong. The whole fucking situation is wrong. Where's my gavel?
And you know what else is crazy? Not for nothing. We could end this here, but the fact that the audience was upset, but I bet you, after the concert, she still went home with Tyrone, Tariq, and Terrence.
God damn.
I bet you.
Oh, why you gotta be so hard on him, Rich? Why you gotta be so hard on him?
Up in the hotel room. Who's the nigga now, Becky? Who's the nigga now? Am I not cool enough for you? Yeah. All right, I'm done.
You know what? I bet you with all the boos and shit that came from the crowd, half the people booing were either white people that had been reciting the word nigga in the crowd along with Kendrick Lamar, or black people standing beside a white person who had been reciting the word nigga the whole time in the crowd and hadn't said shit. Oh, yeah. And they got on stage and it was a problem.
Oh yeah.
I'm not saying it's okay for white people to say the word. I'm saying that you can't put certain people in certain situations and then don't expect certain things. It's almost like Dave Chappelle when he was talking about was the Donald Sterling and the phone call. It's like, man, you get an 80-year-old white man on the phone talking in private, I'd be surprised if he didn't say nigga. Like, I'd be surprised if he didn't have something white racist to say. Like,
it opens the door for too much. It's like, oh, it's okay for me to say nigga concert but at Starbucks. See, then you get too many caveats now.
Yeah, don't pull him on stage for that song, okay? Pull him on stage for what's the song, the liquor song? Pools or something? Swimming pool. Pull up, drink. Like, let her sing that shit. That's what she gonna do. That's some white shit right there.
That's exactly what she did with Tyrone, Terrence, and Tariq 30 minutes later. Hold up. Gabehead drank. All right, I'm gonna stop.
God damn, right.
You know what it is. I'm sorry, people. It was a long day. I'm tired.
I just want to say I appreciate you, Rich, because I walked into this episode feeling like I was fucked up for wanting to get Shorty to get stung in the face, and I feel like a goddamn saint walk out. I feel absolved of all my sins. Thank you, Rich.
Man.
Shit, man. This has been one hell of a conversation, Rich.
Gotta love what is TWS. Yeah.
On that note, I'm gonna go take my antidepressants and go to sleep.
No doubt. I'm gonna, take me a shot of McAllen and knock out.
All right, man. But as always, people, thank you for rocking with us. And until we speak again, be safe and be light.
Peace.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.